to extend a welcome to, particularly to those of you who are members and family here at High Point, who are here with us, as well as those from High Point who are joining us online. But I especially want to welcome those who are of the body of Christ who don't worship here but are joining in with us again here and online as we begin to partake of the word of the Lord today concerning healing. And as Healing School, we've said before, what we're about is ministering healing, but also ministering to you who are believers how to minister that healing. And we'll be seeing that today as we look at a number of scriptures. Now, my last time in teaching you was on March 11th. And in that time, we talked about how salvation and healing is the same gospel. Most people say, yes, I know what Easter is. It's about being saved and then getting my ticket to heaven. But it's so, so much more. And we looked at that in a number of scriptures. Now, we close by saying that day that today salvation is yours. And it's not just that salvation of being born again, but it's that salvation of being made whole, being made complete, sound. And I have good news for you today. Today is also your day of salvation. Now, I have talked to a number of people who have said here in recent days and weeks, particularly, that they're just getting tired. They've been standing for a while, and I understand that. There are some things that I believe that the devil is doing to try to weigh us down, and he's been successful to a degree. But what we're going to share today, I believe, will be a strong word of encouragement for us as we talk today about resurrection, which is very appropriate after this past Sunday, resurrection power and resurrection authority. And so I want you to go with me to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, and we're going to start with the 5th verse. The book of Acts, the 4th chapter, and we're going to start with the 5th verse. And it says, verse 5, "And on the next day," and this is talking about the day after Peter and John have created a stir, or so they're accused of doing, at the Gate Beautiful. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But I really want to tell you, they weren't the ones who created the stir. The Acts was not just the act of Peter and John. It was the act of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who created the stir. They just caught the blame for it. And I think that is so important for us because we don't want to view ourselves as different from Peter and John. That same Holy Spirit is working through you and I today. And we can be encouraged in that fact. So let me get on with this. On the next day, so the day after, the rulers and the elders and the scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas and the high priest was there, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and they were all who were of the high priestly descent. So what they had done is they had arrested Peter and John, and they had brought them before this council. And look at the statement they made to them in verse 7. "And when they had placed them in the center," so they just surrounded them, putting pressure on them, as the world tends to do to believers even today. They begin to inquire, and look at what they said to them. "By what power or in what name have you done this?" By what power and what name have you done this? Now, the word power there is the word dunamis in the Greek, which means that miracle working power. It really comes from two words, which means to make possible. And so it's power that makes possible. And you say, makes possible what? Well, what needs to be possible? When the Lord spoke and created light, he just said, light be. And the Holy Spirit came and light was. And you know, it's the same with us today when we speak to our body and tell it to be whole, to be healed. That same power is available in you and I today. And then they asked the question, "Or in what name have you done this?" Now, the Greek word there is onoma, onomaha, and it literally means name. But figuratively, it actually means authority and character. So they're saying, really, by what power or by what authority or in whose character or nature are you doing these things? And that's a question that we all must settle today. Now, verse 8, Peter responds to him. And he says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people." Verse 9 continues, "If we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name or by the authority or by the nature or the character of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead," praise God, that resurrection power, "by this name, by this power of this name, by the authority of this name, this man stands before you in good health." Wow. And so, through the power and through the authority of the name of Jesus, but it's not just the name of Jesus as we would think of it as when he walked the earth, but this is the power and the authority of the resurrected Jesus. The one who went to the cross, took my sin, your sin, paid the price for them, went to hell for 3 days, and then created an even bigger stir in that area. Can you imagine hell? The reaction that the demons had when they thought they had him? I can see Satan saying, "I'm going to take a quick vacation. You guys keep him here for a few days. I'm going to go celebrate." And boy, did it break loose. And what a victory was won. And what resurrection power was used in that day. And so the power of the resurrection and through the name he inherited as he was resurrected, this miracle was accomplished. Now you may say to me, "Well, yeah, but I know Jesus did those things, and I know the apostles, I mean, they were with Jesus, so I can understand how they could do them." But you say, "Well, what does that really have to do with me?" Well, let's just take a look at a couple of scriptures about that resurrection, and let's find our place in there. So let's go to the book of Hebrews, and we're going to look at the first chapter in the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to start with the second verse. Now I'm not going to read all these and then come back. We'll just talk about them as we go through. In these last days, the writer of Hebrews is saying, talking about the Father, has spoken to us in His Son. Now, let me just pause there. Has spoken to us in His Son or through His Son. Now, we know He used words, but I believe He has spoken to us in much more than just words. He spoke to us in the power that Jesus exhibited when he walked on this earth as a man before going to the cross, just as you and I. And what was Jesus doing? He was revealing the Father to the people of that day. And now we get that same wisdom through the Word. And then he says, talking about Jesus, that he was appointed heir of all things. So when did this happen? Well, we're going to see it happened with the resurrection. But we've got to stop here and also remember one thing. You and I, if we are believers in Jesus, have been made a joint heir with him. So all that we are going to be reading today about Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, that's part of your identity. That's who you and I are. So he made him an heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. In verse 3, "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature," or we might say of his character, or of his name, the name of the Father. "And he upholds all things by the word of his power. And he has made purification, when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high." And then verse 4, "having become as much better than the angels." In other words, he's been exalted even more. "And he has inherited a more excellent name than they." And we'll look at that scripture in Philippians in just a moment to talk more about that. And then verse 5. Now, I believe that these are the words that the Father spoke that caused Jesus to come to life again. And you can see that in what he's saying here. He starts out by saying, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'?" Now, you're going to see that this is not talking about when he was born the first time. And again, so here's that word again, meaning this is something that happened once when he was the only begotten. But he said, again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." Verse 6, "And when he again brings the" what? "Firstborn into the world." So here we see in these verses, the Father is really saying, "Today I'm causing you to be born again. And with that, you are becoming the firstborn." So the question then is, the firstborn of who or what? Well, if you had a mirror, you could look at it and say, me. I don't know what number we are, but Jesus is the firstborn, and we have been numbered with him just as so many others have. So I believe Jesus came back to life full of the Spirit and stepped out a resurrected man, born of the Father, having that same Spirit, all the impact of that sin wiped away from him. Now, it's not just the impact of the sin. What else is it? It's the impact that sin has on us. Now, it also said that he received a name. So let's look at Philippians 2. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 11 in Philippians 2. So he has been exalted when he was resurrected. And it says here that God, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Now, what name, what is the only name that could have been higher than the name of Jesus in heaven? The Father's name. And I believe that's what he bestowed upon him. So let's continue with that verse. And then it says, "So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and those who are on earth and" what? "Under the earth." So what are we seeing here? That everything that has a name, when the Father exalted Jesus by bestowing his name upon him, then what happened? He subjugated it, all things, to that name, and Jesus is now over that, so that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the master of all the universe, and that is to the glory of God. Now, the nice thing about this is, whose name have we inherited? Well, we've been born into the family, so we have inherited that same family name. And you know what that tells me? We need to be about the same family business that Jesus was when he walked this earth. Now again, we're talking about the resurrected Jesus. That's the way that we are brought into this family. So I would ask the question of you. Resurrection power. How much power is that? And we can also ask the question about authority. How much authority is that? Well, let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter, where the Lord reveals to us in his word that resurrection power and authority. We're going to start with verse 19. So in this chapter, he has just been talking about the inheritance that Jesus has in the saints, in you and I. And 19 starts and says, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe?" Now that word "toward" is important there. It literally means in or into. So he has placed this power in us or into us as he came to dwell, as the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. So again, joint heir, as he is today. What does John say, little John? 1 John 4, "So are we in this world today." And then he continues on in the next verse. No, back up. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. And then it says, "These are in accordance of the working of the strength of his might." Now, King James talks about the power of his might. So what he's saying here, that these things have happened. Jesus was resurrected, but the Lord is telling us he used more power to resurrect Jesus than he did in anything else he's done. Why? Because it wasn't just Jesus he raised. Who was raised with him? We were. All mankind. And so, when he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now again, where have we been seated? At that same right hand in him. And then verse 21. Far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion. So how much power was used to raise Jesus? The full power of his might. And then how much authority did Jesus have bestowed upon him? Authority that is far above any authority or power and dominion here in this world today. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. So that tells me that things that were created by words, which is this universe, they are all subject to his name. And guess what? That's true of our name as well. Now I want to continue on in this. In verse 22, it says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet. Now we've got to stop and remind ourselves, where are we in this? In him. So he put all things in subjection under him, his feet, and gave him as what? Head over all things to the church. Or you might say he gave him to the church as head over all things. And then 23 summarizes it by saying the church, which is his body. So his body on this earth is all of us put together. And look at what it is. The fullness of all in all. So he's given Jesus to us. He's put his name upon us. We're to be going about and doing the same work of the family business as he is. And it's all because of that resurrection power and resurrection authority that has been put in us. Now you might say, well, this just sounds a bit strange, or it sounds really too good to be true. Well, let's look at Romans 8:11. And this ought to just simplify it and take all the question out of it. Romans 8:11. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now that's something we need to settle. What did Jesus say? He said, I'm going to send the Spirit, and he's not only going to be with you, he's going to be in you. So we can say that is a settled thing. If I have asked Jesus in my life, then the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. And then it says, that same Spirit will do what? Give life or quicken your mortal bodies. Again, through that same Spirit who dwells in you. Now you may say, yes, I know one day we're going to get a resurrected body. But again, Scripture tells us, as he is today, so are we in the earth. So that says to me that we get some of the first fruits of the resurrection we're going to inherit today. And healing is one of those first fruits. In other words, we have that resurrection power dwelling in us, and it will bring the God kind of life, and it will bring healing to our body. And I'm telling you, it's spirit, soul, and body, the entire you. Now, we've laid a foundation here with this. And so I want to go back to Acts, and we're going to look at the third chapter, and we're going to go back and look at the healing of this man at the gate beautiful. And as we do, I want you to listen and look at this from two perspectives. The same two for which we conduct healing school. Number one, if you're here with a need for healing today, then you can look at this as being yourself being the man at the gate beautiful. And you say, but something different is wrong with me. That's okay. Same power will work on whatever is wrong with us. Or if you're saying, I'm here, I'm doing well, I want to be able to minister, then look at Peter and John and how they view things. So first verse. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to sit down at the Gate Beautiful every day. Boy, you think he had a premier place? And so he was every day at that place in order to do what? Beg alms for those who were entering the temple. And then verse 3. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. Now, what were Peter and John going into the temple for? To pray. And so that tells me one thing, that Peter and John were prayers. So if you say, I want to be able to do things like Peter and John, then what do we know? That we also need to be prayers. And then continue on in verse 4. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and he said, look at us. Now, if we are going up for prayer and are seeking people to lay hands on us, then what do we need to do? We need to give them our attention. We don't want to be wandering, let our mind wander. We want to be focused on what they are ministering to us. And it may not go just exactly as you thought it might. And then in verse 5, and he began to give them his attention, just as we were talking about, expecting to receive something from him. Now, what he was expecting may be totally different from what he got. He might have been expecting some money, but he was about to get much, much more. Verse 6, but Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And verse 7, and seizing him by the right hand, he did what? He raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I want to stop here just a moment. We'll pause here for just a moment and say to you, I believe at this time that he realized who the Messiah was. And at that time, he probably became born again. And that caused what? All this praises to flow forth from the Spirit. So I want you to see that. From the Spirit, the Lord has made us whole. And then it says he was leaping with great joy. And what does that speak to? Our soulish realm, the mental part. All the sadness he had for what he had endured all these years has now been removed. And he's going about joyful, full of joy, and expressing it quite vividly. And then what is he doing in the physical realm? Well, what was his problem? He was lame. He could not walk. And now he is walking about and people are seeing him. And I say that so that you can understand spirit, soul, and body, total healing. And he's exhibiting the fruit of this. Now look at verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, let me meddle a minute. I hear so many people say, Father, we want a miracle here so that we can have a testimony. What was the Father's heart at this moment for this man? Was it for a testimony, or was it for this man to be made whole because of what Jesus had done for him? I believe it was the latter. Jesus healed people because the compassion came up in them for him, for them. His compassion was not just so that he would have a testimony of what he was doing. His first and major thought is you. He wants you made whole. The testimony will follow. When we learn to receive our healing from him, people will see it and it will create a testimony. But we don't need to go be seeking that testimony. And a lot of people pray in that manner. So the Lord just quickened that to me as we were going through this. Now let's go back to the 10th verse. So the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as the one who used to sit in the Gate Beautiful of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, I believe personally that that's what signs and wonders are for, or is to create an awareness of the power of God. In other words, it's like ringing the dinner bell to those who aren't saved to say, come partake with us for what Jesus has done for us in our lives. And now, not only was that guy walking and leaping, but can you imagine him in verse 11 clinging to Peter and John and them all seeing what Peter and John had done and the amazement that it created? And then verse 12, when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety, or we could say godliness? In other words, why do you think it's we have made this man walk? And this is the stir that was created that caused them to go through. And so they address that with the people. If you'll look down in verse 16, they declare that it was really the resurrection power of Jesus and the resurrection power of that name that has made this happen. And it says, and on the basis of faith in his name. And we'll probably talk a little more about that next week, but I want you to see faith is important in order to receive power, but it's also required if you're to walk in authority. It is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man. In other words, the power and the authority of that name, whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given this perfect health in the presence of you all. So Paul tells them, Peter tells them, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about the resurrected Jesus. The name, the one who has been exalted to the right hand of the Father. And what did we see previously? The same Holy Spirit that indwelt Peter and John when you believed on Jesus came to reside in you. You didn't get a partial Holy Spirit. You got the same. Now, I certainly have not reached a point where I'm acting like the fullness of the Spirit is in me, but that's the fact. And so we can learn and we can grow together in this. And as we do this, we can partake of the first fruits of what Jesus has purchased for us. Now, what was the impact of this? Let's go back to Acts 4. It stirred the people up so much, the acts, I would say, of the Holy Spirit responding to the name of Jesus, that in the first few verses, 1 through 4 of Acts 4, he describes what happened. And as they were speaking to the people, this is so back, we're back now to when Peter and John have just done this. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, part of the religious rulers, being greatly disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Didn't address what he did on earth, just talking about that resurrection power. Now, why is that so important? Because without the resurrection, you wouldn't receive the anointing that comes with it. But with that resurrection, the fullness of that anointing has come and fallen upon us. And it's interesting, isn't it, when we talk about things in end times, we talk about the Antichrist, which is literally means anti-anointing. That's what concerns the devil today with you, is that he wants to keep you from understanding that this same resurrection power is available to you and I to walk in, to receive from it ourselves, and to minister from it to others. Now, again, I want to just mention one more time, what is the focus of the Father here? The focus of the Father is not creating a name for men, or for Mark, or for anyone else, but it's for his love for you. And it's that love that sent Jesus to the cross that caused him to bend over that whipping post and take those 39 stripes on his back. So he took away all the sickness and disease and the pain that we have. And it's because of that great love for you And that's what we need to see personally and take personally today. So let's talk for a few minutes about us today. Let's look at Acts, the first chapter. And we're going to look at the 8th verse. Jesus told the disciples in this verse to wait. And he says, while you're waiting, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, what happened in Acts? The Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost. And that is so important because this verse tells us that is when that power is really made available and will energize us from the inside, from the Spirit that dwells in us, to do these things, to be His witnesses. But it's not just going about. One of the saints, and I forget exactly which one, was credited with a quote that says, basically, everywhere you go, preach Jesus. And if you have to, use words. So what else is he saying? What is that saying also? It's how we live this life with this fullness of Jesus residing in us. And really, what are we doing? What did Jesus come to do? He came representing the Father. But if we break that word up, we could say he came representing the Father in all of his fullness of that name that he has. And so what are we doing? Same thing, representing Jesus, exalting him. Now then that begs the question, is this in line? Are we supposed to be doing these things in line with this verse? Is there some other scriptures that tells us? And yes, there is. Look at Matthew, the 28th chapter, the 17th verse. Matthew 28:17. Now this is when he's coming back to his disciples. Some of them have heard, and they doubted of what had happened. But now it says this, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. Now that says to me, we're going to encounter people today who doubt what we're saying. If the disciples saw him after he was resurrected and some of them doubted, then that need not surprise us that it happened today. But what did Jesus say to Thomas? Blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet believed. So that is you and I today. And then look at what Jesus spoke to them. He came up and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Now, why is he saying, what is the therefore? Why didn't he just say, go and make disciples? Because therefore refers back to what came back. And so if you'll back up one, I want to just look at that one more time. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. Now, it's like I can hear people saying, yeah, but he was talking to the disciples. No, in the book of John, when he prayed for the disciples and talked about some of these same things, he said, Father, I'm not praying for these 11 at that time, just these 11, but I'm praying for what? I'm praying for those who will believe because of their words, because of their testimony. And so we are included in this mandate. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even till the end of this age. And which age is he talking about? The church age, the age in which we live today. And those who would say, yeah, but these miracles were so that the church could grow, I would argue we have more people who need salvation alive in the earth today than they did in the whole earth at that time. And so it's just as applicable for you and I. Now go to the book of Mark in the 16th chapter. And here again, we see the same thing. The ladies had seen, two guys had talked to the disciples, and yet, after they had it reported to them, it says what? They did not believe them either. So they've heard it from multiple, and they're not believing. And then the next verse, afterward, Jesus appears to the 11 as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them. He fussed at them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he was risen. Now, let me just say this. This does not mean everyone who says, thus saith the Lord, you should take hook, line, and sinker. But Jesus had told his disciples what was going to happen. And it happened just as he had told them. That he would be crucified, he would be raised up in three days from the dead, and now he's with them. And so let's continue on. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now again, what is that good news that we talked about in the last a month ago? Salvation, saving of the soul as we know it, and healing is the same gospel. So that's what he's telling them to go and preach. All the fullness, all the things that the Lord says he is to us, all the things that Jesus demonstrated, we're to go and proclaim it through the gospel, the good news, and I don't believe it all has to be with words. So those of you who say, I don't like to stand up in front of people, if you can lay a hand on somebody and quietly pray, guess what? That's how you're proclaiming the gospel. Expecting results to come. Verse 16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. So he's telling us that as we proclaim that good news, that what we're proclaiming will come to pass. But he says if they disbelieve, they're condemning themselves. Verse 17. And then he talks about these signs will accompany those who have believed. So let me ask the question. Is that you? Can you raise your hand and say, I'm a believer? Then these signs are to accompany you. And these signs are to be manifested in you if you need to be on the receiving end of anything that's mentioned in here too. So look at what it says. In my name. Talking about what? In my authority. In my name they will cast out demons. It says they will speak with new tongues. And people will say, oh, you at High Point Church are among those who speak with tongues? Yes. And I won't say we're proud of it because I don't think we ought to have any pride. But yes, and I do it frequently and often, and I praise God for the power to do it, the ability to do it. Look at what else it says. If we pick up any serpents or drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt us. That sounds a lot to me like Psalm 91, the protection we have. 1,000 on one side and 10,000 on the other falling, but not you and I. And then it says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now in Matthew, he said what? Teach them all that I have commanded you to do. So just leave that up there a second for me. Is what he just told us here, is that a commandment? So we should be teaching this, and we should be doing this. Verse 19. So then, when the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God until his return back, when he returned gloriously to take us. And then look at verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere. And that could easily say, and the people of the church at High Point went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord, through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, worked with them. And look what the Lord is doing. He confirmed the word by the signs and wonders that followed. Now, if you look in your Bibles, then there is a word that has italics on it there, where it says, and the Lord worked with, the word them is in italics, meaning the translators added it. And I understand what they mean. The Holy Spirit was cooperating with them. But if you don't look, if you take that one word and kind of just blot it for a moment. And look at what this says. While the Lord worked with and confirmed the word. So that tells us what? We must be speaking His word as well. The Lord worked with and confirmed the words that were being spoken. And how did He do it? By the signs that followed. And so that's what I want us to see here, is that we have a role to play in this as well. People who say, I don't believe in miracles. I'm sorry, but I don't believe a Christian cannot believe in miracles. You have to believe in the virgin birth. You have to believe in resurrection from the dead. And Jesus was indeed dead. And so it's good news to us that operating in us today, that we still have access and authority to that power and authority to work in our life. And I just want you to remember, it is a completed work. If it wasn't, Jesus couldn't have sat down. But when He was raised up, all that was needed, all that we needed was raised with Him. Now you may be sitting there today at home or even here thinking, I just feel like what I'm facing is insurmountable. It is too big. It could be a physical issue or it could be an emotional issue. But I think we've shown today that that resurrection power has provided to you and I what? A hope, encouragement, that that same power is available for you and I today, not just in our spirit, but for our soul and for our physical body as well. Now I want to begin to close. And I want you to look at Philippians 3 with me. We're going to start in verse 10. And as I've prepared for this, this has been my prayer for you. And as I read this today, I'm really praying it over you. Now we need to know and remind ourselves that when we pray His word, which is His will, then it says what? He hears us. And we know if He hears us, then we have the request. So I expect that this verse is going to begin to produce in you today. And it can produce healing. And it can produce increased faith. There's a multitude of things that come. And here's the verse that Paul writing. It says, that I may know Him. Now that word know literally means experience. It is an intimate knowing. So it's just not, oh yeah, I know that. It's, I have experienced Jesus. I have experienced the new birth. I've experienced the peace that He brings to my mind. The calmness. The ability to dwell beside those still waters, just looking in His face. And I have come to experience His healing power, which is what? The power of His resurrection. Now you say, yeah, but it says we're supposed to have fellowship with His sufferings. That just means we have a knowledge with what He suffered and gone through for you and I. He suffered it so that we didn't have to. Being conformed to His death. That just means I look at my old man as having died with Jesus. So where is your today? Where is your yesterday? It's in your past. It's been done away with. So being conformed to His death, and then verse 11. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, that I may be born again in the fullness, that I may have healing come to my body, that I may be brought into complete conformity to the resurrected one. Spirit, soul, and body. That resurrection power. Now, how do we believe, how do we bring that resurrection power against sickness? Well, we go back to what Peter told the man, the people at the Gate Beautiful. It's by faith in His name. So it's faith in that resurrection power. Faith that we've been given the authority to do what? To speak His word just as Peter did. So we might say, I can declare Scripture over ourselves. Or over someone else, speak His word. And when we do that, what do we know? And some would say, well, He's watching over His word to perform it. But I would say to you, He's already done all that. Your salvation, the work for your salvation is complete. And so what he's saying to us is that when we speak in his resurrection authority, we expect, by faith, things to begin to change. But we're not moved if they don't right away. Resurrection authority says that will change. When things are temporal, what does temporal mean in this realm we live in? But it's a form of the word temporary. So those things will change. The final thing we have to do is receive it. And this is what we're going to spend a lot more time, I think, next week talking about, is being able to speak the word, have the faith, and we're going to look at how Jesus did it, so that when you declare, by his stripes, I am healed, you know that Jesus has already done the completed work. And his word tells us that when he says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, you were healed. You already have been. It's time for it to manifest today. So how about confessing with me as we close? Just repeat after me. Father, I declare healing is mine. Pain, you go from my body. Torment, you get out of my soul, out of my mind. Kingdom of God, come on me and in this earth and be just as you are in heaven. So what you're declaring is kingdom of God, just be in me. And now I want you to say, believing this, I am free. Now let's just take a moment and thank him and worship him and declare, I am free. Father, you said that the word would set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's me, Lord. And join with us if you're looking online and doing it. If you've never done this before, nobody's looking at you, so just put your hands up in worship. And what you're doing is just surrendering, but you're also, with your hands open, in a position to take and receive and bring to yourself that which he has already provided to us. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that as we confess your word, resurrection power begins to work in us. That authority which you've given us only through our position in Jesus. Sickness and disease, you must bow your knee to it. You must bow your knee to that glorious name, the name of Jesus. I just sense that there's someone looking online and perceive that you can almost feel your heart fluttering and it's not beating correctly. Just speak to it. Tell it to beat with a perfect sinus rhythm and watch the name of Jesus go to work in your body. Someone out there is saying, mine is not a physical such problem, but it's more of an addiction and it's impacted my mind. You can be set free by the same thing. You can experience or know the power of his resurrection by just speaking to it. And so I'll just say, tormenting spirit, you depart from him now. Addiction, we break your power in the name of Jesus that you have holding that individual down. We call them full of the peace of God. Holy Spirit, just comfort them now in that. And again, let me just remind you, resurrection power dwells within you today, and it shall quicken this mortal body. It shall give life to it. Healing belongs to you.